This is Packer and Durham on ACCN and Sirius XM Channel 371.
The whole group is here. Captain Ron, Robert, Otto back in the Christmas decoration room, raiding Mrs. P's refrigerator, Chester Fuller, and Big Man's in town. What's happening?
We're here, man. Happy to be back in the basement.
Yeah. It was good having you in the house last night. Yeah. Watching a little ball.
Man, it was a great start. Kind of stall out a little bit. And an exciting finish. I mean, what more do you want from a football game?
We will break that game down. We're going to break down every single game this weekend. We got hoops tonight. We got soccer championship with the men's side this weekend. Women's basketball going on. You name it, field hockey. You name it, it's happening. But before we do anything, you brought gifts last night.
I did bring gifts. All right, so you were very happy to see these gifts.
Oh, well, I didn't. First of all, I didn't know one was coming. Yesterday was a grand day around here with 500, and we had all kinds of stuff happening. So Eric shows up last night at the house, now staying at the Eric McLean suite. Was the West Durham suite. Yeah, it's all yours. It's yours now, right? Yes. You got the whole floor, the whole deal. You know how it works. So Eric comes walking in and says, "Pack, I got something for you." So, "Oh, cool. You didn't have to bring anything." And so he reaches in and he brings out not one, but two bottles of this right here. This is what I like to refer to as brown water. And not only is it just brown water, it's my favorite brown water. It's Woodford Reserve Double Oak.
That's right.
Right? So I'm like, what's the story? And so you now tell me the story of this guy, a buddy of yours.
Yes.
Right?
Yep.
Go ahead and tell us.
Travis Hollis, and great guy, Granger Owings down in Columbia, South Carolina. And he loves the show. Big fan of the show. And he says, "Man, I want to do something special for Pack. What's his favorite drink?" I said, "This is it. You're going to knock it out of the park." And he said, "Okay, well, how about this? I'm going to give you two of them. I want him to sign one of them, and then he can keep one. So a drink on me, sign for me. That's how we do it." And he knocked it out of the park.
Well, there's no doubt. So Travis, of course, not only do I get the brown water, which I love, because it's 7:02 a.m. I can assure you in 11 hours and 59 minutes,
you're cracking.
I'll have one ice cube in, with this right here.
There you go. Right?
So not only that, but I also get what I love the most, of course, is the handwritten note.
That's right. Right.
I'm all about the handwritten note.
That's right.
And so Travis says, "Hey, we have never met before, but since you're really, really great behind the mic, we're basically boys," is what he says. He says, "That's why I wanted to buy you a drink or several. Seriously, though, I thought it'd be cool to give you something in return for all you guys have done for the last 18 months. Right? So there
That's
it is.
Cool.
So Travis, I appreciate that very much. And I really appreciate a little brown water that never hurt anybody. Remedy for all cures for that deal. And so we'll partake. So you get a signed one coming your way.
That's right.
That's a great, for me, that's a good trade.
That's a cool one.
It took me about, 15 seconds?
Have you ever signed a Woodford Reserve?
No.
First one, Travis.
No, first
great
one.
Great idea. Great idea.
First one.
There you go.
There it is. So we're good to go. All right. With that said, it's been a great gift week. It really has been.
The jersey was awesome.
You love that.
Yeah.
University of Virginia, big time.
I'm disappointed you're not wearing it right now, but.
Well, I told you my idea, and you didn't like it either. I said it to Wes yesterday. Wes was like, "Nah, I don't think so." Mark, I don't think so.
Well, it's cool. 500, man. Did you think it would ever happen?
No.
Here we are.
Yeah, but five, I thought we could get to five, like the first week.
Maybe.
Until Commissioner Swofford went, what's plan B? What's plan B with these guys? Can we move on to something else? It's great we got the network launch, but maybe that wasn't a great idea.
Not next. Not
but 500, next. We said yesterday, really, we just get in front of the parade.
That's right.
I mean, the really, really talented people are behind the scenes getting the job done.
No question.
All right, let's get to ball.
Come on.
We got great games this weekend, right? The big showdown, you're heading there, the huddle.
Yeah.
It's going to be in Switzerland tomorrow.
Can't wait.
For NC State, Wake Forest, which is the game. There are others, though. We're going to address all the games. But last night, let's talk about last night a second. Pitt's in a great spot, right? They're leading the Coastal. They know exactly what they've got to do. Here comes North Carolina, as we talked about. They're going to have three straight shots here to spoil parties. They ruined Wake Forest last week, even though the Deacs are still doing their thing. But North Carolina got the satisfaction of being, hey, we're the one. We're the one to put the one in the L column, right? So that's issue one. Party two was going to Pitt, right? Pitt's rolling in the Coastal. Life's good. North Carolina, short week. They've dominated the series, 6-1 since Pitt's joined the league. They come rolling in there, and here's Pitt playing with a lot of pressure, quite frankly. Got to hold serve, got Virginia next week. Miami's lurking. Miami's got the tiebreaker on Pitt. I mean, so there's all kinds of pressure on Pittsburgh to hold serve. And, Eric, we're watching the game last night, and, man, first quarter, 14, nothing. Life's good.
Easy. Yeah.
They're kicking North Carolina all over the yard. They're up 17 zip. Sam Howe can't get out of the way. They sack him five times. Really kind of total domination by Pitt in the first half.
It absolutely was. I mean, the plan of attack for Pittsburgh to start this game was tremendous, and everything working in their favor. March right up and down the field, get stalled out, actually get stopped on a fourth down on their first drive, but then field position, get it right back, get in the end zone, get a field goal going into halftime. You're feeling great about where you are in your situation. And even defensively, I mean, they were tearing North Carolina up, and then it was a tale of two halves. Carolina just put it together in the second half, got it to overtime, and Kenny finished the deal there.
But in the first half, we're sitting there watching the game, and you're thinking, boy, I tell you, if North Carolina doesn't put something together right here, they could get run right out of the joint.
Right.
We really felt like North Carolina, no pun intended, was on their heels, and they were about ready to be escorted right on back home early. And here's Pickett flying around, throwing the ball, doing his thing. And you know, as we discussed, not me and you, but Les and I discussed all week, it felt like it's a first to 40 game, right? Both offenses terrific. Both quarterbacks outstanding. North Carolina's defense has really been a problem and an issue. And it looked like it. I mean, that just looked like, hey, one team showed up to play tonight. And, man, North Carolina better wake up. Man, that Wake Forest thing, no disrespect, that's a rearview mirror. Catch you later. But I was impressed with what North Carolina did in the second half. They really did a complete, total domination of Pitt, outscored him 16-zip. And isn't it, though, kind of a snapshot of what North Carolina's been this year?
I mean, exactly.
I thought about that last night as we were watching the game, that if you're a North Carolina football fan, that game last night was really kind of typical of this year.
Just what you've done.
You gave me one half in which, hey, didn't defend well, really didn't do anything offensively, just kind of sputtered. Like, what is this team? And then you gave me a half where, hey, Sam Howell looked great. Team offensively moving up down the field. Defense played well. Really stopped a good offensive team. North Carolina gave you the Jekyll and Hyde last night.
Right.
First half, as you said,
that's just what they do. When they're down 17 or you know, looking at that, we got them right where we want them. That's what we need. That's what we want. And so it's just so interesting to think what could have been for North Carolina. You see such great performances in a half of football or a quarter of football, and you're just like, man, if we could put these efforts defensively, offensively together, you know, how special could our team be? And Sam Howell on full display again with the running, with the great passes that we see from him over and over again. And Josh Downs, I mean, how freaky is that young man to lay out, make that big time catch on Sunday? It's a touchdown. But probably the most impressive thing, Pack, as you mentioned, was just that defense in the second half. The fact that they shut Pitt out for the first time this year in a half of football, made the necessary adjustments, made it very tough for Kenny Pickett and the boys. Now, there were a bunch of drops. I mean, you and I were looking at it. This ball's bouncing off of people's shoulder pads, but Carolina in the right spot comes down with an interception, really changes the flow of the game, and is able to force overtime.
Well, I think, too, if you're Pittsburgh, looking back at this, hey, you get the W, it's all you wanted. Just give me the W, let's move on to next week. Got a little extra time to prepare for Virginia, which is going to be, in my opinion, that game is NC State Wake Forest.
Absolutely.
Of next week.
Absolutely.
That's really what it is.
Yeah.
And no disrespect to Miami, who still has a chance. They're still floating there. They got to take care of their business. But if you're Pittsburgh, hey, the box was checked. Did you win the game? Yes. Move on.
Absolutely.
You know, I know the people overanalyzed the second half. What happened? Kenny Pickett didn't have enough touches. Wait, North Carolina had, what, 31 possessions, 31 snaps in the second half in Pitt territory.
Yeah. Zero in the first half.
Zero in the first half. And, you know, at halftime, it was, what, 17-3 in terms of first downs. 17-3.
Yeah.
Sam Howell sacked five times. I mean, you if you watched the first half, turned it off, and went to bed, you're probably rolling out of bed this morning going, huh, what? The game went to overtime? How's that possible?
Right.
I mean, it was really, it's 23-7, and it felt like it was 35-0. It was like, forget it, this game's over. But I know North Carolina, like I said, did a really nice job in the second half. They dictated the entire tempo, everything else, and really had a chance. And I know there'll be people today going, Mac Brown should have gone for it. Man, he got the ball down inside the five less than 30 seconds ago. Go for the win. Woulda, coulda, shoulda.
Right.
Right. If he kicks the field goal and North Carolina wins in overtime, you say, man, what a beautiful job.
Exactly.
Like, you know,
exactly.
That game's easy, man, the next morning.
That's right.
You know, hey, you kick the field goal, you got all the momentum, and but boy, here comes the rain. We hadn't even talked about the rain.
How crazy was that?
Where'd that come from?
Yeah. I mean, literally after Pitt scores, it just unleashes. The hardest rain we've ever seen. Now, the second half, it rained the entire time, but it just happened that after Pitt scored in overtime, It was the hardest rain that I've ever seen. And, I mean, it's almost hard to see the guys on TV. It's like, was unbelievable.
It's almost like Pat Narduzzi after the touchdown to go up 30-23, walked back, picked up the phone and said, "All right, Lord, let it rip." And it was just, I mean, it was just a, hey, here comes Noah's Ark.
It's a great strategy. It was a good strategy.
It was crazy. And, you know, I kept thinking, too, about Katie George, because we used to kid around with the coveted invite. It seemed like every weekend she had snow, ice, locust, whatever the case may be. I mean, it was always something, right? But, man, it was coming down sideways when North Carolina had the ball. But, hey, that's football, man.
That's right.
Heads,
that's
tails, right. What do you want? You want also, the ball? Man, you want to play D?
Yeah.
I mean, it turned out to be a pretty big deal.
Right. I mean, how bad did they feel for not picking offense first in that pit? Go on that. But as you said, no clue, no way to know that. And like you said, with the points and kicking that field goal, I think you got it. You have to do that. I mean, points are at a premium. Nobody can score the way they want to. You got to take what you can get.
Right.
And, of course, we look at hindsight. It's like, yeah, man, should have went for it right there.
Would have, could have, should have. Here's Mac Brown after the game last night.
I should have gone for the 4th and 2 at the end, 4th and 3, because it the way it ended up, the rain was really hard and put us in an awful position in overtime. You're on the road. The reason I didn't do it, I got talked out of it, but also we hadn't made 4th down and 3 or 4 or 2. But I still, looking back, I would have been better off going for the 4th down at that point.
Well, I would just say you can't beat yourself up on that one.
Yeah.
I mean, you can't.
Yeah.
I mean, like we just said, it's easy to play, you know, the infamous Friday morning quarterback on that story. But, hey, you know, you kicked the field goal. Hey, my defense is playing great. We've shut these guys out the entire second half. We're playing with momentum.
Right.
We got the mojo. Sam Howell's hot. Let's roll the dice and see where it goes. So.
And I disagree with him. I think kicking it's the right call. We saw a week ago Wake Forest have the exact same situation. Guess what? They went for it. Guess what? They lost. They didn't even have a chance in overtime. So I think when you just see that, when you look at that game, that was a very NFL-type game. You got to take the points. You just have to. And it worked out. You had a chance. You had a chance to win. And I know hindsight is what it is, but I think that was the right decision.
Pat Narduzzi obviously addressed the media, and one of the things that we kind of talked about yesterday was everybody's talking about quarterbacks, offense, offense. But, you know, at some point in time, defense has to win games, right? Has to win games for you. And I thought they did the job in overtime. Really did the job.
No question. Those guys stood up tall. And, you know, really in that overtime, North Carolina's going backwards. I mean, they sent the house. They got after it with their defensive line. And that was the Pitt, you know, defense that we expect to see all year long. Now, those guys have been very inconsistent. But when needed most, they stepped up to the plate, was able to get the big victory for those guys. And really, I thought did a great job all night long. And I mean, Pitt puts themselves in tough situations, right? They go man-to-man and say, our guy's better than yours. And sometimes you don't win those matchups. But for the majority of the night, they were able to get to Sam, influence him, make him get off his spot, and not really allow him to just sit back there and cook, which at times, man, I mean, he can just light you up. So they did a really good job. Great plan defensively for Pitt.
And we talked about North Carolina being Jekyll and Hyde. And in some respects, Pitt's defense was Jekyll and Hyde, right?
No,
they were fantastic in the first half. Told you, he hit 5 sacks. He only gave up 3 first downs. In total control at the line of scrimmage, they just abused North Carolina's offensive line. Second half,
a whole different story.
Total turnabout, right? Yeah. North Carolina returned the favor, but in overtime, Pitt got after it. Here's Pat Narduzzi. I believe we've got his sound regarding the defense stepping up big time for the Panthers.
I think we're the number one, you know, fourth down defense in the country. I think people should probably just punt or, you know, do something else. I think our kids, I mean, you know, again, give the defense credit, give – you know, our players credit, our coaches credit. I mean, they've done a great job all year long. And they did it again today. So those were some huge stops. And again, they played lights out in the first half. I mean, I don't know how many, you know, I counted 4 or 5 three and outs early, maybe out of the first 6, 7 series. So, you know, and then, you know, they did some stuff in the second half offensively. They started moving the tight end around. You know, we couldn't get a beat on where the tight end was at. You know, I don't know if that was something they made adjustments at halftime or not, but they certainly were moving around and, because we had him bound up pretty good early.
Hey, who was that guy in camo and glasses? Was that Narduzzi?
That was a cool hat.
I like that
hat. That was big time.
You liked all that camo last
Absolutely.
Night.
Coach Mac Brown's, I've never even seen that before. I don't know if that's one of one or what, but you know, Coach, if you don't like it, you know, I can send you my address.
You know what you should say? You should say, hey, Mac Brown, here's the deal. You know, you're not going to keep that.
Yeah.
You know, it's a loss.
He doesn't want that.
It's a loss. You don't want that hanging around. That's a bad vibe. Just send it to Eric McLean. Eric will go with that.
Big time.
Camo, absolutely. You loved it.
Absolutely. Loved the camo. But as Coach said there, I mean, what the defense was able to do all night and just being disruptive. You mentioned the line of scrimmage, total domination in the run game, in the pass game, especially in that first half. And those guys just getting movement backwards. I mean, Kalijah Kancey. Just a freaky, freaky player. So fun to just watch a guy who takes his time, right? Doesn't, you know, makes the most of preparation and maybe doesn't get the, you know, the playing time right away that he might want or deserve. But I was talking with Jalen Twyman last year, and he said, this guy is going to be the next freak defensive lineman. And that's exactly what he's done all year long.
All right, so if you're keeping score, Pitt in great shape. They got Virginia next week. It's the ultimate showdown in the Coastal. Miami is still alive, but they got to go take care of business and hope they get a break. For North Carolina, you're 5-5. Who would have ever thunk that? Wofford next week, that'll be the one you kick the door down, you get into a bowl, all that good stuff. And North Carolina with a chance still to spoil one more party.
That's right.
And that's NC State at the end of the month. So, a terrific game last night as a typical ACC matchup, 7 points or less. You want close games? This league provides it every single week. And we will come back and discuss every single game highlighted by Wake Forest and NC State. We'll get into that later on. You got EJ Manuel, Luke DeCock, conversation I had with Dabo yesterday. In case you missed it with Jeff Hafley, we are going to be busy on a Friday, but we head to Switzerland next, right here. It's Packer and Durham. Eric filling in for Wes. And you got us right here on the ACC Network.
The Packer and Durham Podcast. This is the Packer and Durham Podcast.
Packer and Durham on a Friday, 844-SAY-ACCN. My Wake Forest buddies are nervous. My NC State buddies are nervous.
We need to talk to some of those fans.
You know what? They ought to be.
Because come on.
This is a big deal tomorrow night.
Yeah.
This is a big stinking deal. And for a division that has been owned recently by Clemson, you sprinkle in Florida State's dominance in the early part of the 2010 decade. It's been a long, long time since somebody without a paw or that cool spear showed up in Charlotte. Now, still, Clemson's got an outside shot. Crazy stuff still has to happen. But tomorrow night, you boys up there at the huddle getting a head start on this bad
boy. That's right.
So what do you think? What's your initial gut reaction to this game?
It's going to be really interesting to see, does offense or defense prevail?
Right.
I think this is by far the best defense that Wake has seen. I don't think there's any question about that.
Agreed.
Probably the best offense that NC State has seen.
No doubt.
So it's going to be, okay, what's going to give? Well, what's really going to come to the top here? And so it's there's an emotion when you come off a loss, right? If you're Wake Forest team, you see what you want to be able to do. Can you channel that and then, you know, put in an impressive performance? But, I mean, 45 a game, unbelievable.
I mean, just look at all the first and seconds on this list. That's all you need to know. I mean, forget the real numbers. Well, you'll see first, second. It's strength versus strength, man.
Right.
This is it's number 12 against number 16. It's supposed to be a game
that's
like
right.
this, right?
That's right. No question. And I'm also really interested to see, okay, what is NC State on the defensive side? What is their plan for that RPO, that long riding RPO stretch game of just seeing, okay, there's really two ways to defend it. Number one is blow up the middle, which I think they have the ability to do, but Wake Forest offensive line has been playing really well. Or you kind of have a linebacker or DB just kind of sitting in that window where the slant comes right behind it. Now, there could be two, so that's a little bit risky, and you're taking a gamble. But going to be very interesting to see how can they combat that and make it happen.
I know Tim Hasselbeck, when he was on with us yesterday, said something that was really interesting. He goes, you know, you think defense, you think aggressive, attack. Pat Narduzzi style. Against Wake, it's almost the exact opposite. You have to be so patient, and
right.
you do.
Exactly.
And the problem is you could still be patient, and Sam Hartman's so good, and his skill guys are so talented that he can sit there and go, I'll just outweigh you. Oh, really? I'm going to hold it right here. What are y'all going to do about it? Oh, really? Well, I'll wait another second.
Right. Right.
No. Hey, Mr. Perry.
See you later.
Catch ya.
Right. It's incredible. They are. It's incredible to see a guy operate so flawlessly. I mean, he has the RPO down, and they call it so well. And just the long ride that he has, the patience to get his guy screaming wide open. I mean, eventually, if you're in zone – they're going to run through the zone. They're going to find gaps. They're going to find windows. And Sam has done such a great job of identifying that and being patient and letting, you know, these plays develop on top of trusting his guys. I mean, we've seen time and time again, whether there's pressure coming in his face or if he's just anticipating his guy getting open, that not a blind throw, but it's almost like, okay, AT is down there. Yep. Roberson is down there, and I'm going to just throw it up and give them a shot. And more often than not, they come down with it.
You know, the other thing, too, on the flip side, if you're NC State, you've lost four or five starters.
Right.
Doesn't matter.
Defensively, yeah.
They have been so consistently good. We've talked about complementary football with NC State. I mean, their offense has been good. Devin Leary's been fantastic. They've got weapons where they can beat you. But defensively, I've really been impressed with NC State. They've got experience. They got size. They got speed. And it kind of feels like they kind of know they're good, right? You kind of get that mentality that, hey, next guy went down. Hey, you know what you're supposed to do. Let's go get him.
Exactly.
And NC State's done that really, really well this
year.
Yeah,
yeah. And, I mean, it's led by Drake Thomas, who it's so ironic at the beginning of the season. Okay, Peyton Wilson, we're loving on him, thinking he's going to be fantastic. Gets injured, very unfortunate. Isaiah Moore, same thing. And then nobody was giving Drake this love. And when you talk to Devin Leary, you talk to this team, he has just stepped in flawlessly. Like, he's been this vocal leader, and that's what you want from guys. When preparation and opportunity meet, it's a beautiful thing, and that defense is really playing at a very high level. And I agree with you. I think that the better team, the better three-phase team, is NC State. But at the end of the day, if that offense is putting up more points than you can hang with, you lose the game. So I'm very interested. If it turns into a track meet, can NC State keep up? They have been in maybe one shootout all year, and it was Miami, and they couldn't keep up. What happens if Wake Forest can really put those track shoes on and go?
You know, we kid around yesterday that who would score more points. Would you get more points in the Pitt-North Carolina game or what you're going to see at Wake Forest tomorrow? And I thought you would have seen more points last night.
Right.
Now, we got some
still
defense.
Might. Still might.
Well, you still might. But, I mean, that game was more defensive last night than I anticipated. I mean, it was 30-23 final in OT. Now, as I sit here on a Friday morning, I'm thinking there's going to be more points tomorrow night than 30-23. And while we talk about Wake's great offense, State's terrific D, maybe the answer to the question for this game is the other question, and that is State's offense against Wake's D. Because Wake Forest defensively better tackle the man with the football. They have had a hard time the last couple weeks. I'm not counting the Duke game, because right now Duke can't do anything.
Right.
But Wake Forest has had a tough time bringing the man to the ground running the football. State's going to test them.
Yeah, and especially run defense for Wake. But the good thing, the silver lining, if you're Wake Forest defense, is that NC State has seemingly forgot how to run the football and run it effectively. Is this the game that they figure that out? They have a fantastic offensive line. Big Icky at left tackle, I think, is the best offensive lineman in the country. So can they now say, boys, we have to lean on you. We have to go and get it, because balance is going to be key in this game. Devin Leary's been playing out of his mind, an absolute snub for the quarterback award that was just announced. I don't understand how he is not a finalist for that or a semifinalist for that award. He's been playing out of his mind, but you need that extra piece. You need that run game to go with it. Can Wake finally step up? Can they look good? So it's going to be very interesting to see each matchup.
Eric, don't you think, though, we're just speaking out loud here. Don't you think if you're NC State, you're Dave Dorn, you're sitting there going, hey, I got Sam Hartman over there. They're scoring a gazillion points.
Keep away.
Right? Here's the best way to beat Sam Hartman. Dude, we love you. You're great. Team's terrific offensively. I'm not giving you the ball. No. You're not going to touch it.
Right.
And to do that, here's what you got to do. We're going to line up. We're going to run the ball.
Right.
And we're going to shove it down your throat, and we're going to eat up time. And, yeah, we'll eventually score, and down the road we go. And now, hey, tag, you're it. Exactly. Now, go ahead and dog and pony. We'll take our chances that our defense eventually will get enough stops to win the game.
Because you think how frustrating that is. If you can play keep away, okay, our possessions are limited. Our time is limited. We've got to go. Then you make a mistake. Oh, my goodness, now it's even more limited. So I agree with you. If they can do that, which we haven't seen in three or four games now, it'll be very frustrating for that Wake offense. It'll be very frustrating to call plays and to think, man, what are we going to be able to do? If NC State is able to run the ball, is able to rely on that big offensive line, like they should, they certainly should, it could be very, very stressful for Wake Forest.
If it comes down to a kick, right, because we both think this is going to be a close game, yeah. Right? I mean, maybe it's not. Maybe we come back Monday and it's 37-21 and Team A beats Team B, whatever. But you got to figure this could be a tight game, right? There's a lot at stake. Tight game. And Wake Forest is looking down there. Hey, Nick Skiba, we need you. Let's go. I mean, no disrespect to Dunn or anybody else at NC State, but that's an advantage for Wake Forest.
No question. I mean, he's been there, done that, been in those situations, and they feel like he is an absolute weapon. And so if it comes down to that, man, you feel good. You feel real good about your – let's get to the 40-yard line, and we've got it. And so it's a good feeling to have. I cannot wait to see this game. I'm so happy that we're live and in person to see it. The environment should be great. Wake Forest doing a blackout. I know it's going to be a lot of black and red, so it's going to be an awesome environment.
By the way, one last thing, and I'm not sure it's going to matter, but sometimes teams just have other teams' number. I don't care the sport, whatever reason. Sometimes you just get that mindset, hey, we just can't beat these guys. We think we're more talented, but we just can't beat them. But in the last 25 years, NC State's rolled into Switzerland 12 times. They've won twice.
House of horse.
I mean, I'm just saying, sometimes it's just one of those things where, hey, we never play well there. State's got to get over that. And I know there might be some people who go, Pack, that's got nothing to do with tomorrow night. Might be right.
Has a little bit to do.
But sometimes you just get one of those things, what is it that when we come into this place, we just never seem to play well?
Right, exactly. Can't wait.
This game's got everything you want.
It does.
Number 10 against number 12. Atlantic Division leader. It's kind of a loser leave town match. Mm-hmm. Kind of feels that way. Mm-hmm. And again, I'm not knocking the Tigers because they're sitting in the back going now. Who do we root for? If A beats B and they, it's no
back there doing quick math.
You know they are. And you're like, oh, no, don't worry about it. Just go win your games and all this stuff takes care of itself. But this is a humongous game tomorrow night. And the best thing about it is the huddle, the boys, Matt, Eric, and all the boys are going to be there tomorrow morning. And we've got the game right here on ACC Network tomorrow night. It's third of the triple header, and it is the game. It is, again, we've only got four ranked versus ranked matchups nationally. And I kind of mentioned this yesterday on radio. This is why college football in November is so great. You pick a conference, and I can give you a ranked versus ranked matchup that's going to have a bearing on either division, the conference race, or the college football playoff.
Right.
It happens tomorrow.
That's right.
And for the ACC, it's in Winston-Salem, North Carolina. It's on ACC Network. Number 12, Wake Forest. Number 16, NC State. They go way, way back. 112th meeting, all that great stuff. They know each other.
1910, is that right?
They know each other. There's no nonsense here. State fans know Wake fans and vice versa. Everybody knows everybody. Be a tough ticket. Standing room only in Winston-Salem. It's going to be great. We'll talk more about that when we come back, though. My conversation with a guy by the name of Dabo Sweeney. Yesterday. Oh. Military Appreciation Day tomorrow. A lot of purple in the valley.
That's right.
You'll hear from Dabo Sweeney coming up next right here on Packer and Durham. Eric filling in for Wes. You got us on ACC Network.
Packer and Durham. Here's Mark Packer and Wes Durham.
Here is tomorrow's college football lineup right here on ACC Network and the ESPN app at noon Eastern in Death Valley. The 6-3 Clemson Tigers host UConn. Jim Moore will have to watch from afar. Then, right there in the middle of this, Duke looks for their first conference win of the season when they go to Lane Stadium, Virginia Tech, Blacksburg. That's where you need to be. Turkey legs in football at 3:30 in the afternoon. And then, of course, the nightcap, primetime. ACC Network primetime matchup presented by GEICO. A battle for first place in the Atlantic Division. Devin Leary, 16th-ranked Wolfpack, taking on Sam Hartman in the 12th-ranked Wake Forest Demon Deacons, who look to bounce back after their first loss of the season last weekend in Chapel Hill. That is a full day. And, of course, get it started with the huddle before, during, and after.
That's right.
Right?
How sad do you think that little middle game is that it doesn't have a sponsor, man?
It doesn't have a sponsor, but there is some important. We're going to talk about all these games today. All right? So don't worry about, you guys haven't talked about Syracuse.
We're doing it.
We're covering everybody. It's an important game for Duke, and it's really important for Virginia Tech.
It's huge.
No last question. Home, last chance to win a game at home.
Right.
So we'll get in all that stuff. Yesterday, as he normally joins me on Thursday on SiriusXM, Channel 84 off campus, Dabo Sweeney jumped on board, talked about a number of things, and we started off by talking last week's game against Louisville, and I said, Coach, got a flair for the dramatics this year, don't you?
Oh, man, yes. If there's anything, we are definitely must-see TV this year for sure. Proud of our guys. Just incredible heart and grit and toughness. And, man, they just don't quit. They believe. And We make some mistakes, but they continue to overcome them, and just really proud of them. Great start to November for us, and now we've been on the road 3 out of the last 4 games, so it's good to be back home. We got a couple games coming up here at home, and just trying to keep building momentum, and trying to have a great strong finish. So that was a big win. Louisville's a good team, man. Yeah. And I knew they were. I mean, this is a team they've had some just absolute heartbreakers, go against them, but they're a talented group. That quarterback is special, and we didn't do a very good job of him, slowing him down on a 100-yard field, but first and goal on the 2, man, you just got to tip your hat to our guys on defense. I mean, they just would not let them in. And it was a great, great win for us. And, again, just what this team needed to keep building the momentum to have a great finish.
You know, I like watching all those wildlife safari shows when all of a sudden out in the middle of nowhere I see a cheetah or a jaguar and it stalks its prey and says, hey, I'm going to give you a head start. And then off to the races we go, and here it comes and goes in for the kill. You know, I'm sitting there watching that game Saturday night, and, you let Malik Cunningham have the ball at the 2. With time running out, you got to be sitting there going, boy, oh, boy, how in the world are we going to figure this out? I mean, I'm watching Mickens and Makuba, man. Those dudes were flying. I mean, they were coming out of nowhere making tackles, and I'm like, wow. And, again, Cunningham's got great quickness and speed. But, man, your pursuit to the football when the game was on the line was out of sight Saturday night. That was unbelievable.
It really was. They did a great job. You know, we felt good about the situation. We're up 6. They need a touchdown. And really, they had leaned on the run. They really hadn't done much in the pass game at all. And so we felt good. They had no timeouts. And they've got to put a long drive together with no timeouts. And we knew they weren't going to be able to just rely on running the ball. And we felt good about our pass defense and had the whole game. And then all of a sudden, Jerry Rice and Joe Montana show up and they hit a 50-yard play, and we got a guy there, and then we got a 4th-and-1, and they hit an unbelievable, crazy play that has to, you think the game's over, then they review it and they say he was in, and so just crazy. Next thing you know, you're 1st-and-goal on the 2, But, man, just hats off to our guys. And, as you said, their pursuit, our physicality up front, and, just an incredible goal line stand.
You know, we're talking about defense, but there were some good things from the offensive side. DJ's progression, it looked like he had his best game. He was banged up and just toughed it out and made plays down the stretch. I know you had to be proud of him.
Yeah, I mean, and that's kind of that's where we've been trending. We're getting better. And, the guys were ready. They competed their tails off. They handled the adversity. We took care of the ball. We had no turnovers on offense. Our offensive line is growing up. Receivers really did a nice job, especially on the perimeter. And we came out with a 3-play opening touchdown drive, which is just what we needed. And the biggest thing is that's back-to-back weeks that we've had game-winning drives. And where you get the ball on offense and it's late in the 4th quarter and you either go score a touchdown or you lose the game. That's kind of where we've been. And man, back-to-back weeks, we've been able to put those drives together and, 10-play touchdown drive there with 8 minutes left to put us up. And then also before the half, we get the ball with a minute 33 on the minus 14 and we go right down the field and score a touchdown. So we're doing a lot of good things. We got ourselves, like, kind of has been a theme for us is, we've had opportunities to put some of these games away. We had a 4th-and-1. We didn't get it in on the goal line, and, that cost us points. And then we had a muffed punt, gave them a very short score, field to score on right there. And those are mistakes that we've just got to eliminate. And the 4th-and-1, we've got to get that in. So we had a few miscues, but all in all, offensively, we're definitely getting better. Proud of that. And again, defensively, we did not do a good job of stopping their quarterback. I mean, it's basically a triple option, from the pistol. And we put some bad stuff on tape, but we really finished well in the game. They were 1 of 8, 3rd and 4th down in the 4th quarter. And holding them out, obviously, on the goal line stand was just, incredible to be a part of. And And overall, again, just a great experience, a fun trip. And, man, I'm having fun with this team. They're growing up. A lot of lessons, a lot of things that are going to help us finish well the rest of the season, but also really for all these guys that will be back with us next year, there's a lot of good stuff that I think is going to pay off for us in the long run.
Today's Veterans Day. I know how much the military and its history is tied into Clemson University. After 4 years of college, taking the girls through there, this is always an important weekend. Military Appreciation Day coming up in Memorial Stadium in Death Valley. But between Veterans Day today and the celebration, really, of the men and women that serve this great country to make this the greatest place on the planet Earth, this is a special place in Clemson, South Carolina on Saturday when it's Military Appreciation Day.
Yeah, it really is. And I think so many people, you know, it's just awesome that they take the time to honor our military and with military appreciation games all throughout, you know, college football and NFL, et cetera. I think it's a very worthy thing to do. But I will tell you, man, it is special here at Clemson. It's not just something that we do. It's my 19th year here, and it's something I just have this great appreciation for. Most people don't know the heritage of Clemson. You know, Clemson was a military school and a boys only school till the 50s. They know it as Death Valley, but the name of the stadium is actually Memorial Stadium. And, we have this incredible, rich, military heritage and history here. I think of all the universities, I think we're third in people who lost their lives in service to the military, you know, back in World War II. Again, just it runs deep here. It's always something I look forward to. I think they work on it all year around here, and we'll have all types of people here that will be honored and recognized. We have, you know, people speak to the team, and then one of the things I always look forward to is having all people on our team, you know, stand up whose family is a part of the military or has been a part of the military. And it's always fun to go around the room and let everyone have an opportunity to talk about who in their family's been in the military, how that's impacted them. And it's always something I look forward to. So it's a great day. Of course, we wear purple. That's kind of our tip of the hat and the camo and all that stuff. So really, really look forward to it. It's special. And I think all the people of Clemson, really, really look forward to it and appreciate this day.
No question about that. UConn is the opponent. And ironically, today, Jim Mora is announced as their new football coach moving forward. Jim has been on our show, I don't know how many times. Normally he's climbing a mountain or he's out there fly fishing, doing an interview with us. I'm going to miss those conversations. But he won't be coaching this weekend. But it's kind of been a struggle for UConn, right? I mean, it's just part of the gig. Their offense is really trying to find its place. But it's kind of a family affair between UConn and Clemson when you start going down rosters and seeing familiar names, isn't it?
Yeah, there's some South Carolina kids on their roster, and then obviously the Pumachan,
right?
Tyson's brother was starting quarterback for him before he got hurt. So I know there'll probably be about 20 Pumachans in attendance, and that'll be a cool day. And I will say this: Wednesday, the Coach Spanos has taken over. Man, these kids have really played hard. They've competed their tails off. I mean, they lost by two to Wyoming, lost by two to Vanderbilt. They hung in there with Middle Tennessee. So they're playing hard and playing better. And again, there's some unknowns, but they're probably one of the top five youngest teams in the country. For us, you know, it's about just continuing to build great momentum. Man, we basically got 15 days to the end of the season, and man, we've got a lot of opportunity still out there for this team. And we want to finish well. That's all our focus is, and you know, this bunch is in our way. So we gotta show up and again continue to do the things that we need to do to have the type of November we want to have.
You, Mr. McClain, have been a part of these this appreciation for the military. I mean, not only do your family,
right,
but also Death Valley.
Yeah.
You know all about this. No, this is an emotional day.
It is, and it's one of the coolest things that Clemson does. And, you know, just to see it, to have experienced it, to what it means. I mean, to see those, you know, soldiers that are in the stands, to see them come down on the field when invited and just, you know, impact and understand that what we're doing on that Saturday, you know, it spreads across the world, and there are people that are fighting, and there are people that are, you know, at war and watching us. And for a couple of hours, you know, all that is taken away, and they're back home, and they're, you know, all is good because they get to see the Tigers or the Eagles or the Panthers or whoever they're watching that day. And it's just special. And, you know, for my father who serves this great country, my brother, cousins, so many family members, can't thank of them enough for your sacrifice, for what you do, for Pack and I to be able to sit here and talk a little football. So forever indebted and forever grateful to all our servicemen and women for the great sacrifices that they make.
Hey, man, real quick, last night we're watching the game. You get a phone call. You got to tell – I know we're running late, but in 30 seconds you get a phone call, and I'll leave it at that. And there's something wrong when the world's ahead of us.
That's
watching
right.
football last night. That's with right. Pitt, North Carolina.
That's right. I get a FaceTime from the colonel, and he's watching the game. He is somewhere in the Middle East. I'm not going to tell you where. And he's FaceTiming me, and North Carolina's kicking it to go into overtime. You and I are watching it, and he goes, he makes it. 15 seconds later, we see he makes it. I'm like, are you kidding me? The Middle East has a quicker satellite than we do? It's unbelievable.
Military.
That's what
need to know basis. It's kind of like this show. Need to know basis. All right, we got to take a quick break. We come back. There is a big game in Charlottesville this weekend. Wahoo Wahs got Notre Dame coming to town. Yeah, we're still sporting that number 5 jersey. I can tell you that right now. Looking good in the Packer household. We'll come back and talk about the Hoos and the Irish right here on ACC Network. It's Packer and Durham. Eric filling in for Wes. You got us right here on SiriusXM 371 as well.
The Packer and Durham Podcast. This is the Packer and Durham Podcast.
Packer and Durham on a football Friday. I'm telling you, it's a great weekend of college football. Talked about the big deal going on in Switzerland tomorrow. Primetime right here on ACC Network. We got this little game going on tomorrow night in primetime too. This little thing going on with Virginia and Notre Dame. Talking about looking to ruin a party.
Yeah.
Who's got 2 weeks to get ready? Brennan Armstrong is the million-dollar question, though, isn't he?
Is he playing? Is he not playing? And really, I mean, locked lips over there at Virginia. Nobody saying a word. I've scoured the Twitterverse. I've scoured the internet. Nothing. Nobody's saying a thing. And I like it, too. You know, a little mix-up, a little mystery. It will be very interesting to see, you know, if that young man's able to go. And I've heard a lot of back and forth, Pack. If he's not 100%, why play him? You've got so much in front of you for the conference. You've got so much you can accomplish in conference play. But I know as a competitor, if that guy has a fraction of a chance to play, he's in there. He's going. 100%.
Jay Wolfolk, what happens if all of a sudden you got to go to plan B?
Yeah.
What do you do?
I mean, it's going to be interesting. I think with 2 weeks to prepare, you're trying absolutely everything. As you see the numbers here, just the it's a little bit of a big difference there. Almost a 3,500 swing in favor of Brennan Armstrong. No touchdowns. So, I mean, that's a lot for that young man to have to shoulder. Oh, by the way, the number 9 team in America is coming to play with a pretty decent defense and pass rush. So I will be very interested to see what does Virginia do if Brennan cannot go. Is it a combination of guys? Is it a bunch of different packages? Because, Pack, I think you have to be creative.
Virginia's last win against an AP top 10 team, you got to go back to 2005.
Mm.
When they knocked off Florida State, who was ranked 4th in the country. They have lost 16 consecutive. But streaks end.
That's right. Right?
Notre Dame's had great success against the Atlantic Coast Conference. As a matter of fact, they've won 20 straight against unranked ACC teams. And the Irish offensively starting to run the football. They've had a lot of injuries on their offensive front. Last 4 games, over 150 yards rushing in each game. That is something Virginia is going to have to deal with. If you watch the UVA-BYU game, Yikes. So you know what's coming if you're Virginia when Notre Dame has the ball. If Brennan Armstrong can go, though, Mac, I think they take their chances and go, guess what? We're as diverse and as difficult a team to defend offensively as there is in this country.
Absolutely.
Right?
Absolutely.
And so Notre Dame, this game's got a potential to be one of those games that everybody around the country is talking about, not only tomorrow night, but also when we get back on Monday, talking about the weekend that was in college football. Virginia has, I think, a golden opportunity if five is good to go.
Absolutely. And he's the guy that it's all kind of hinging on. Now, not saying that there's not a bunch of dudes on this team, because there absolutely are, but he's your quarterback. He's your point guard. He's the guy that distributes the ball better than almost anybody in college football when you see the things that he is able to do with these wide receivers. But the big thing that you just mentioned, Pack, about this Notre Dame team and how they have gotten so much better. I have never seen a team that their offensive line play has done a 180 flip. I mean, these guys were terrible to start the season. We go into that Virginia Tech game live and in person. They had given up like 20 sacks to their quarterback. Right now, they've only given up 6 since that game. And so these guys have turned it up big time. The offensive line play for Notre Dame has been absolutely fantastic. And they're running the ball at will. Nearly 200 yards a game these last couple of times out. Kyren Williams reminding everybody how special of a player he is. And so look out for Notre Dame, because they are really figuring it out at the right time. And don't tell Jordan Cornette this, but they still have a very good shot at this college football playoff when it's all said and done.
I thought Jordan had him like number one. I thought Jordan had Notre Dame, then
right.
Georgia.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Don't tell him that I said. Okay. I mean, he knows, but he did. When I tell him, they're out. And so please don't let him know that I think there's a shot.
So let me just play this devil's advocate with you. If you're a Virginia, right, and I'm going to allow you that Brendan Armstrong is good to go.
Okay, good. Thank you.
So what's your attack on Notre Dame?
Defensively?
Yeah, well, what do you do?
Because hope my guys show up.
Yeah,
hope they play.
Right, because you got to kind of choose your poison.
You do.
Against Virginia when Armstrong's good to go. Right, this game, again, I keep saying all this offense. This game does feel to me, like, again, I'm talking as if Armstrong's good to go and can function.
Right.
This game kind of feels like, hey, this kind of could be the guy with the ball last.
It does, 100%. I mean, that's the way I feel about it. And so you look at your defense, you look at the playmakers that you have over there. Nick Jackson has to have the game of his life. I mean, he is a tremendous linebacker for Virginia, and he is going to have a very tough job. I mean, you need to know where Kyren Williams is. If he flexes out, he's probably going to get the ball. If he's in the backfield, you know they're going to run it. And so not that it's a spy, but just having the awareness of, it's a one-on-one matchup, me versus you, and I'm bringing you to the ground, because we have seen time and time again for Virginia just poor tackling, not being able to bring guys down, not finishing the drill. And, I mean, BYU just scored another rushing touchdown. I mean, they ran literally, figuratively, statistically, ran all over Virginia. Almost embarrassing effort defensively. And so now you have a great opportunity to kind of right that ship right after that game and make it happen.
You also had 2 weeks to get ready.
Yes.
And you know those guys watched that tape and went, yowza. I mean, we're better than this.
Right.
Right. So they've had 2 weeks to get ready. Who knows with Brendan Armstrong? We played the clip earlier this week of Bronco Mendenhall pulling the Mark Packer, going, you'll find out Saturday. Right. That's when you'll find out who our quarterback will be. I'm not telling anybody anything. And I do think that's the right approach.
Why not?
But if Armstrong can go, and I think he's going to play. I base that on no inside information.
Just a gut feeling?
I just hope he's ready to go, man. Dude wants to play. You know he wants to play.
No question. He's a competitor, and he wants to be the determining factor. And, you know, before the injury, we really saw this Virginia offense fully unlocked, because the quarterback run was the last part, and that's going to be taken away. I mean, whether it's a severe injury, ribs aren't fun to be hit over and over again. So you've got to think that they're going to revert back to that air raid. We'll pass it all around. We'll have an extra hat in the box to hopefully pick up Big Folsky with 8 sacks in the country, who's going to be a werewolf coming after Brennan if he plays. And then we're going to get the ball out quick.
It'll be fun, boys and girls. Charlottesville, that's a good ticket too, man. Get that on all over.
Couple of big ones,
you.
Man. There's really big ones.
Many good games this weekend. Yeah. It's not even funny. Virginia, by the way, 0 for dirt. They're 0-3 against the Irish. Notre Dame's always been ranked in those games, but we keep giving you those stats about ranked teams versus unranked teams this year in college football.
Right.
If you got a number, especially a little number beside your name,
be careful.
And Notre Dame looking to sweep the Commonwealth. They beat Virginia Tech. You were there in Blacksburg. Right. Last team to be able to beat both those teams on the road, Duke in 2013.
Wow.
Won at Virginia Tech and at Virginia.
That was a good year for Duke.
That was right here in Charlotte. They brought it for the ACC championship. They ran into a freaking
buzzsaw. Yeah, one of the best teams of all time.
Florida State said, thank you very much. We'll take that trophy. We'll go ahead and beat up on Auburn at the Rose Bowl and go celebrate like rock stars.
It stinks.
All right, quick break. We come back. One stat per game. 1 hour down, 2 hours ago, cruising right along. We will cover every team, every game this weekend, so just chill out. We'll come right back to you. Packer and Durham, Eric McClain filling in for Wes. Again, we continue to stream live on that ESPN app right here on ACC Network.
Packer and Durham.